So welcome to another episode of Q&A, GCN's Queer and Alternative Podcast. I'm your host, Brian Finnegan, and today we're doing a special episode on HIV and health for men who have sex with men. My first guests are Robbie Lawler and his partner of 4 years, Maurice Leahy. Since winning Mr. Gay Ireland in 2013, Robbie has become a passionate HIV activist and a key person in Ireland's media and education sectors, making his own positive status fully visible in an effort to tackle stigma against HIV positive people. And recently, Robbie and Morris, who is not HIV positive, appeared in a video created by ACT UP Dublin to publicise the fact that HIV positive people on medication with undetectable viral loads cannot pass the infection on. U equals U, or undetectable equals untransmittable, is a game changer when it comes to HIV, both in terms of stigma and testing. So Robbie and Maurice are here to talk about their own experience, their U equals U campaign, and what this means for gay and bisexual men. So welcome to Q&A, guys.
Thanks so much for having us. Great
Thank
to be
you,
here.
Yeah.
Hey. So tell us, start with a little bit about your own background, how you met, and
It's a funny one because everyone else has these real romantic, origin stories, but we just met on Grindr.
Okay.
So you can find love in a hopeless place, I guess.
Where love stories begin.
Of course. Mars was out of a long-term relationship. I was too. And we were talking for around 6 months on Grindr before we met up for the first time. And actually, I remember thinking that Morris was catfishing me the whole time because I was like, he's a bit too perfect to be true. And then I met him and I was like, wow, you're real. So I clung on to him for the next 4 years.
So far, so good. And Morris, so Robbie has been, since you won Mr. Gay Ireland, really, you've been a major advocate. And part of that was being really open and out about your own status and about your own story in the Irish media, which is a very brave and strong thing to do. Were you aware of Robbie's status when you met?
I wasn't actually aware of his status when we met. And interestingly, he had mentioned, you know, how he did some peer support. I still didn't get it.
I've thrown him all the
Were
hints.
You dropping
yeah,
hints?
Yeah, hint, hint, hint. You told me fairly early on, though, I think.
Fifth date.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
I have a 5-date rule. Because you might not like them on the second or third day, so why bother telling them? Do you know, or going through all of that? And the fifth day, if it's still going well, you kind of have a good idea of how it's going to progress or if it's going to progress. So I think, and you don't have to worry then post the fifth day because they know, and then you can just get on with the relationship. So that's my rule of thumb for myself. It's different for other people, but I remember going on that date to tell him, my God, I was shitting myself.
So tell me, so yeah, obviously, I mean, every time you do it, you have to do it. You have to come out once again as being HIV positive to somebody you might be interested in having a relationship with. That's it's a hard thing to do. Tell me, Maurice, what was your reaction and tell me how it unfolded from your point of view?
I think my reaction, I was surprised because I'm obviously not very good at taking hints, but it didn't change how I felt about Robbie. That was just something that came with Robbie, I guess. But it didn't kind of colour my thinking on Robbie in any way. And I actually, probably sounds very old fashioned, but I went out and got a book in terms of educate myself. Yeah. It hasn't changed anything. I don't think there's anything really different about our relationship.
Was it something that you talked about as part of the relationship, or did you kind of park it and kind of move on?
No, we talked about it a lot.
Well, do you know, it's a part of my everyday life and work, and I say HIV around 50 times a day, so it's inescapable in our relationship. But I always thought it was very important to say it to Maurice, if you do have any worries or do you have anything, come to me, and vice versa. Because there was a few side effects to medication that I was going through, and I was going through like little bad times, and it was just good for him to understand the context of where these feelings are coming from, not negative feelings towards the relationship but just towards life stuff. And I think having that very open conversation and willingness to talk to each other from the very beginning about this HIV, but about sex in general, really, really helped us come as strong as we are today.
Well, I'd say that's a really good thing for relationships anyway, to be able to be that open and that kind of communicative around those issues. So
I always say there's some positives being positive. All right. And one of them is, from the very beginning, you get to have this amazing conversation about sex, shame, desires. And once you show a bit of vulnerability, and then your HIV like positive status, someone is showing vulnerability, people take you in. You know, they open up and they probably give some back, and it's really, really strong, especially at the start of a relationship.
And for you, Morris, that would you say the same?
Yeah, because I guess, you know, the vulnerability, you know, the feelings are, it's not just Robbie that's feeling vulnerable. I think, you know, despite, you know, educating myself very, very quickly, there's still, or there was at the time, certainly for me, there was an element of, you know, what if, and that,
yeah,
that was there, that kind of like a little bit of a cloud was there for a while. And so there was vulnerability on both sides. But we just always talked and it just worked.
So taking that vulnerability into account and the fears around HIV transmission, tell me a little bit about when you became aware of U equals U, or the fact that undetectable equals untransmittable.
Well, I think for the first year, maybe year and a half, we used condoms all the time. That was just part of our relationship. And because the U equals U message was kind of known around the 2000s, but the way the studies were done, there was shown that there was around a 4% chance of still being able to pass on HIV, even if you're virally suppressed, if you're undetectable. And that 4%, although it's small, it's huge, right, in terms of what we think in sex. So condoms are always a big part of our life. And it wasn't until one winter's night, I can't remember what it was, Panty put up on our status the preliminary results of the partner study. Now, I've heard about it before, but I didn't think too much on it, surprisingly enough. But Morris, you read it around the same time I did, and Morris brought it up to me.
Okay, so Morris, you take over there.
Yeah,
I was just really, really excited about it. And I wasn't just interested in what the findings were. I was like, you know, I wanted to do this. I wanted to be part of it, us to be part of it. And
to be part of
the study. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
And I was kind of freaking out, as you can imagine, because I'll never forget Morris actually bounced up and down the chair like, look at this amazing study. And it was. And it's, I guess I didn't guess I was amazed by it because I wasn't sharing it with you at the time. But it was really exciting. And actually, Ireland was one of the places that there were recruiting couples. Went into the lovely Siobhan O'Dea, who's the head of the Get Gay Men's Health Service now. She's phenomenal, but she's a research nurse in James's. And myself and Morris went to her, told a story, and she recruited us like this. We were the perfect candidates.
Tell me, what was involved in the study itself?
Well, the criteria were you're in a relationship and you wore condoms on or off, or not at all. And one had to be positive, one had to be negative. So that's basically the criteria. And that we had to, which was kind of funny, had to record how many times we had sex or sexual
Your sex diary.
But it wasn't a weird, Morris, because we went to Siobhan again, who's just amazing, you know, you could talk to her about anything. But like, you'd have to say, she's like, how many times do you have sex that week? And we're like, oh my God. Do you know what I mean? We don't keep a sex journal. So that was quite a funny part of it, wasn't it?
It was, yeah. The whole thing was amazing, actually, yeah.
And so they were recording your sex life and then taking their findings from testing you?
They record the, you know, the, or they want you to advise them of the number of sex acts in inverted commas over whatever the period of time was. It was quite a while, actually.
It took us 6 months to 6 or 9 months.
And you get tested. You got tested as well. Yeah.
Yeah. And then they check to see if I remain undetectable, if I'm adherent to my medication. Because obviously, if I stop taking my medication, I'll get a viral load, and then he becomes, have heightened viral load, and then he becomes positive.
Vulnerable. Yeah, okay.
Well, then
yeah.
that disqualifies us from the findings of the paper.
Okay.
Yeah. Or if someone stops taking their medication or something like that, there.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. It's very interesting, the study, actually, because some negative people did become positive, but they can do phylogenetic tests on the strains, and they can actually trace back to who gave you HIV. And all the people who got HIV in the study got it from different partners.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, okay. So it's interesting.
That's interesting. So it's only like, I mean, there's been, you know, information for a while kind of bubbling out there. And it's only really this year that it's become kind of a major message for men who have sex with men. And the all powerful Center for Disease Control in America came out this year and said that U equals U, that if you're undetectable, you can't transmit. Tell me what it means to you. What do you think that means in the wider context for gay and bisexual men?
My God, I can't even begin to explain. And not even just gay and bisexual men, just for every single person with HIV, this is... It's the biggest breakthrough since the advent of antiretrovirals. It really is. Yeah. Because from the very beginning that we get a HIV diagnosis, we were told we're a risk. We're told that we could pass it on. And the most frightening thing for me as someone living with HIV would or that something that I really wouldn't want to do is pass on HIV, especially someone who I really, really cared about, you know, and loved. And really, really breaking down that perception of being a risk from one message is very, very, very difficult to do. Very difficult to do. I know so many people living with HIV who just will not accept that they're zero risk if they keep taking the medication. So this message, although it should be in the wider public, right now I'm actually targeting people living with HIV to accept the message and to inform them of it. And then we can work out the rest. But in terms of gay and bi sex, it has huge ramifications, do you know, because HIV has always been a fear factor in our sex, and especially for the generation who's gone through the AIDS epidemic. And now this is one of the best tools we have to stop new HIV infections. So it's really, really incredible.
So a part of that tool is testing, because unless you know you're HIV positive, you can't have the medication. So maybe talk a little bit about the importance of testing. And
absolutely. Did you how often do you used to get tested, Myers?
God, it's a good question. I don't think I had a routine or anything like that, but I got tested a few times. But I didn't get tested until I was in my 20s anyway, probably early 20s or something like that. But it wouldn't have been...
You were every 6 months or...
Probably something like that. If I thought of it, you know, it wasn't something that was scheduled or that had to happen. It was...
I'd like to talk to you a little bit about that, because a lot of people won't go to get tested because they're afraid they may get a positive result. So talk to me about your own experience of going to get tested.
I was not afraid to get a positive result. Well, I guess, you know, you do the test and it's going to be on your mind, you know, but it's more even just it's not the most convenient process, you know, I guess, going and getting tested. I guess I'd always find something better to do, really, than... It's like if I had an assignment to do, I'd find myself cleaning the house, that kind of thing, you know. But... Yeah, getting tested, it was, I don't know, it was just something you had to do every so often. But I'd never been, you know, prior to Robbie, I'd never experienced, you know, rapid testing.
Yes.
But I think that's pretty amazing, you know, in comparison to...
Well, talk to me a little bit about rapid testing so people know what that is.
Yes. Rapid testing is phenomenal because it's a community, it's a peer-led testing. My God, what even more could I give? A peer-led community testing facilitation, that's called it, for lack of a better word. But yeah, it's just gay and bi men in the community, and they give you a little pinprick on your finger and you can get your HIV result in 60 seconds. It is just so phenomenal. Now, I've joined up with the Know Now as a volunteer. I've only done one. I'm on my second one tomorrow in Outhouse. But you get to bring these men in, and you get to have a discussion with them for around 10 minutes, 10, 15 minutes. We fill out the form, say, what brought you here? Do you know, do you think you might be at risk? And then you get to be at the front line of informing them of what it is to live with HIV, what HIV is, and creating that culture of getting tested. Because you're not waiting for 2-3 hours or 4 hours, you know, depending on where you're going to get tested. You can know and you're waiting 2 weeks for your results. It's all within this time frame.
Again, there may be a fear factor in that you get a pinprick in your finger and suddenly your life may change in a huge way. You know, if you are tested positive. So why would you encourage people to do that?
Because testing is so fundamental for your health and for the health of others. If you do not know your HIV status, ignorance is not bliss. Because the longer you have HIV, it leads to disease progression and you're doing damage to your body and can lead to AIDS. But also you're more likely to pass on HIV. Now, the really important part of this is Ireland has a massive, massive issue with getting tested. 46% of people diagnosed in 2015 were late presenters. So they had around a CD4 count of below 350. And that's basically a marker to say that they had HIV for between 3, 5, 10 years. 46% of all people diagnosed. Okay. Now, if they're not getting tested regularly and they're getting HIV for that long, they have HIV for that long, well, they're more likely to pass on to many different partners. But also, if you have a CD4 count below 200, that's when you get AIDS-defined illnesses. So the importance, yes, you get a pinprick and know it, but for me, knowing your status is the best thing you can do for yourself, whether it's positive or negative, because we cannot afford, you cannot afford to live in ignorance about this.
Yes.
So it's better to go community pair and get in 60 seconds, because if it does become reactive, we link you into care straight away. You're with peers. You get numbers to talk to people. It's very, very efficient. And we know that it's been actually very good for getting people who'd never tested for HIV in before. So the pilot study started in 2015, and Adam Shannon would kill me if I get these numbers wrong, but around 900 people done in the pilot year, which is amazing, great number. And around 50% of them, no, it was 50% of those respondents, it was the very first time getting a HIV result.
Okay.
A HIV test. Isn't that insane?
Amazing.
The very first time ever doing a HIV test.
Well, that clearly shows you what people emotionally feel about getting an HIV test, because it's still connected to fear. So what you're saying really is that if you become tested, you can become undetectable, because if you take the medication and untransmittable.
But this is it. Like, so if you know your status, you literally will live as long as anyone else.
Yes.
And actually some studies show that people living with HIV live as long as, even live longer than some people. Yeah. Because we get to see consultants twice a year.
Yes, you're like, you know, the total health
system. We're in total health, honestly, and we're more likely to look after ourselves potentially, you know. Not endorsing HIV here now, you know. But, but I'm just saying these studies, and you become non-infectious. Now, from a medical point of view, it's so manageable and you're great. From a social point of view, it's a very different story. But I have to say, when it comes to HIV and stigma, it's very alive and well in Ireland. We can see that the HIV stigma report that came out. From my own experience, and I can only talk about my own experiences, and coming out on national radio and all the, anyone who would listen to me, 99% of everything I've heard has been nothing but supportive.
Okay.
You get a few bad eggs, but you're going to get them anywhere. And what people really have to realise living with HIV is, what people say who might be negative against you, that's not a reflection on you. That's their reflection on their knowledge around HIV, their ignorance, their fear around HIV. And once people realise that they're just a human being trying to live their best life, and what other people have to say doesn't reflect on them, you know, then we can build them up. Then enacted stigma doesn't feel as strong. People don't have as big a hold over you. And so one of the biggest things that I'm trying to do now is trying to get people living with HIV to feel empowered to come out. Because I only know 6 people living with HIV who are willing to talk openly about it.
Yes.
Even though there's thousands of people living with HIV in Ireland. 6.
It's unbelievable.
6. And what we have to realise is, being out about your status is your right to health. It's like being open about your homosexuality. Imagine, you know, everyone who's listening who's homosexual has had that feeling of coming out. And, oh, if you tell someone, what will other people think? And do you know that snowball effect? And just what that can do to you psychologically. Well, with HIV, it's the exact same, if not worse.
So you're self-stigmatizing, really. This is what's happening to you before you come out. You're saying you're worried about how people are going to react, but you're thinking about yourself and judging yourself on some level.
Well, of course. So what we have to try and do is overcome that self-stigma.
Yeah.
When we talk stigma, is such a loaded word, right? It's like when people just throw the word out, stigma, as if it does everything. I like to break it down to self-stigma. which is one of the biggest things.
The biggest.
Like, I felt dirty. I felt unclean. I felt all those words, even though I knew nothing about HIV. I instantly I became this legacy of all these words you hear about HIV. And then this perceived stigma is, what will my mom think when I tell her? What will what Morris think when I tell him? What would my church say if I told them? Do you know? And these are different things you hear about all the time. And then you have enacted stigma, which doesn't happen as much because people don't really get past the first two to tell people. But I always believe if you can get that single person to feel good about themselves, that they know that they're not bad, they're not a bad person, that living with HIV doesn't reflect badly on them, well, then the perceived stigma lessens. And then when people say negative stuff about you, you know, there's nothing wrong with you. Whatever they have to say, it's more reflection on them than you. So that's why I keep wanting to build people up, because I'm so sick to death of telling my story. Like, people are, we need more voices out there. We need proper representation of people living with HIV. And so my goal for this year is to maybe to get another good few people come out and be open about themselves and be happy about themselves.
And to speak in the media too.
And speak in the media, of course.
Yeah. So we'll kind of conclude, and I'm going to ask each of you what U equals U has meant to your relationship. And I suppose why you did the video.
U equals U in our relationship, it's taken whatever little sliver of fear was there and it's thrown out the window, it's gone. Because even, you know, up before that, you know, whilst we were having safe sex and whatnot, there was always something, and it's gone. It's just like it just took that little load off, and it's been just totally liberating for us, for our relationship. And we did the video because we wanted to spread the message and empower other people, you know, both people with people who are HIV positive and people who are not, just to educate the world that we're just normal people, or relatively normal.
it's a message that, you know, there's it's a loaded message in itself, because, you know, people will be going, we shouldn't be giving that message out. Everyone should be having safe sex all of the time. So talk to me about that and why you think the message should be absolutely clear and out there in that way.
Can I just say about that, because I hear that all the time, and I've never in my whole entire life, and I ask this question all the time, one person who's wore a condom 100% of the time. I haven't met one, and yet they're the first to go on this moral high horse, like, you know, high ground, and look down on people who got caught with the bad sex once. You know? Why is it so important? As Morris said earlier, like, every time we did have sex, and any time I've had sex since my diagnosis, is after you come, you're supposed to feel this elation while tired, but there was like this whole, like,
oh
shit,
my God,
did a condom break, do you know, blah, blah, blah. And sex was always a bit more loaded than it should have been. Well, now I don't even think about it. It doesn't come into our consciousness at all. What U equals U means for us is that I just take my medication every day, and our relationship just functions as any other relationship functions. And HIV does not enter it at all. And it doesn't give, I would never give Morris ammunition to feel bad about my HIV status. Yes. Do you know what I mean? It gives a lot of power to someone living with HIV.
Yes.
And a lot of the relationships of people I know living with HIV, the relationship, the other partner makes them feel kind of bad a lot of the time about the HIV status. Lot of the time. Yeah, and this is a very regular occurrence. So what we this message seems to people living with HIV is like, no, you're not second in this relationship. You are as healthy. You are non-risk. You deserve to have a healthy sex life, and you don't need to listen to that crap. So get rid of him if he's pissing you off. Okay. So many messages out there.
So many messages out there.
Based upon people's individual stories, but for us, it just means HIV is not a problem at all.
Okay, well, I thank you for coming in. I think it's really important that message is out there for all of those couples who are either one positive, one negative, but also for all people who have been diagnosed or are going to be diagnosed with HIV. It gives them hope, and it gives them freedom, and it gives them one less thing around the self-stigma.
Absolutely. Okay. Thanks for having us.
Thanks a million. Thank you.
So So thanks to Robbie and Morris for coming in. And now we have Will St. Ledger from ACT UP Dublin in the studio with us. On Monday, December 4th, the generic version of PrEP was made available to community pharmacies across Ireland by the company Teva Pharmaceuticals. This obviously is a major development for those who've been sourcing PrEP online from outside Ireland. But according to ACT UP Dublin, it's a step from a pharma company rather than a political step, which we'll talk about. And it's imperative that the government and the HSE roll in on supporting affordable provision of PrEP to men who have sex with men in Ireland. So, Will, welcome to the studio.
Thank you very much, Brian.
Maybe give us an overview of what PrEP is to start with.
Okay, so PrEP is stands for pre-exposure prophylaxis. It is a antiretroviral drug that is taken by HIV negative people that stops them. It's a highly effective and safe drug that stops people from getting HIV.
Okay, and so let's unpack it a little bit. So it's being made available to community pharmacies across Ireland, although I think you only know of one pharmacy at the moment.
We only know one pharmacy so far. That's Confrey's Pharmacy on Pier Street that are stocking it. We have checked. They are stocking it for €95.
And actually, we'd like people to tell us in GCN to let us know if their pharmacies are stocking it so that we get some information out there to people across Ireland. So on December 4th, Leo Varadkar tweeted it was being made available. Mm-hmm. And I think he included the HSE in his tweet, did he?
So at 6:54 a.m., Leo Varadkar tweeted that PrEP was being made available by Teva Products, and he said that it was a drug that has high success in reducing HIV transmission. All very true. He left out the part that this had nothing to do with him. He doesn't take any credit for it. This is a private pharmaceutical company who is putting a PrEP on the Irish market, and nothing to do with him. So it's a very vague and let's put it this way.
Really,
it's spin.
Yeah.
It's spin. I'm going to call it for what it is. It's optics. It's Leo trying to put out a little piece of good news on World AIDS Day. That is it. That's what he said on World AIDS Day.
Yeah. So the majority of people, obviously, who are on PrEP in Ireland have been outsourcing. They've been getting online from abroad, mostly from the UK.
That's right.
So this means that they will be able to get PrEP in Ireland. We hope.
They will be able to get PrEP in Ireland if they want to pay three times the cost at a pharmacy. Right now, you can get PrEP online for the cost of about €100 for about 3 months' supply.
Okay.
In comparison to
€100 for 1 month.
For month supply, right.
Yeah.
Right.
So, but like there are implications to sourcing PrEP online outside.
Yes, it is. It is not permitted under the law to import any pharmaceutical, any prescription drug by mail order. That is the laws that are there. I think in the situation where we have a HIV crisis in Ireland, I think that that's questionable whether blocking PrEP, generic PrEP coming into the country is a wise idea. However, that's where the law is. Some people are still continuing to source it, by mail order, at the risk of having it seized by the HPRA.
Yes.
Bit of a mouthful there. but let's be clear about this. Because there is a generic version of PrEP available by Teva Pharmaceuticals at chemists around the country, does not mean that now that PrEP is, you're allowed to import PrEP by mail. That is not the case. That has not changed at all. So,
it's available in pharmacies.
It is.
It wasn't available before.
That's exactly correct.
It's more expensive than if you outsource it to another country. What's needed to actually make it properly available?
What's needed is that it needs political will, and it also needs the HSE to have applied for reimbursement through a rapid review. There should be now a rapid review of the cost effectiveness in terms of PrEP as a reimbursement through the HSC, the greatly reduced cost that a pharmaceutical can introduce a generic drug into the system is going to make it more advantageous for it to go through that system. But that, like every other system that's been in government, has always been slow.
Incredibly slow.
It's incredibly slow. I mean, I always compare the situation with a tortoise and a hare. It seems like the medication and the bounds that are made in prevention strategies around the world is the hare. And the Irish government seem to be the tortoise in this, slowly pacing along.
And of course, at the moment, the cost-effectiveness study they're doing is with Gilead's Truvada, which is the original PrEP
drug. That's right.
And that's €400 a month. Is that the cost?
Yeah, I mean, that's sort of an average cost. But yeah. I mean, I can't find any situation where anyone is able to go to get a prescription, go to a chemist and buy Truvada.
Buy
Truvada.
Or even buy it, yeah.
Yes, I mean, that's just something that's been touted out.
But the study that's been done is based on that cost.
Yes, so that's right.
A rapid study really needs to be done based on the new cost.
On the new cost, which is greatly reduced by a generic company. If a generic company can provide to an online pharmacy 3 months of PrEP for €100, imagine the savings that they will be able to give the HSC. Huge savings.
So the optimum is that it's on the reimbursement scheme
that people
can be reimbursed for
and
the
cost. And it's also rolled out for people who need it. But also this is for people who can't afford. I mean, €95 to €100 a month is an incredible amount of money for anyone to pay. It's 1,400 or, you know, 1,200 euro a year. I would not be able to afford that. So there are lots of people in economic situations who are not able to afford that amount of money. So they should be able to access, should they need it, PrEP on the health system.
So what would you say to the people who say, well, why should the government pay for people to take PrEP? Why should our government, what saving is it to our government if they're paying that money?
Okay, and in terms of the human saving of it, the evidence for the dramatic reduction in HIV transmission from people who are taking PrEP has been underscored again and again throughout the UK, throughout the US, throughout Canada, throughout any other country that has introduced PrEP into its health system has seen a dramatic drop. In the UK last year, they saw a 35% drop amongst men who have sex with men or gay and bisexual men in London. That's an incredible drop. Now, that is combined with quick treatment and increased testing, but PrEP plays a vital part in the prevention strategies towards reducing HIV numbers. In terms of an economic cost, if you're going to come cold with figures to me and a calculator, fine. If right now what we have is a situation where last year you had 508 HIV diagnoses in this country. Some of those are newly reported. They're all newly reported, but some of those newly reported include people who have already had a positive diagnosis in another country. They will go into the health system like anybody else who does, who needs access to antiretroviral medication as a person living with HIV. The taxpayer and the government are burdened with the cost, but they take up the cost of that. Like every other thing in this country where people are ill, where they have long-term conditions, the net cost goes to the taxpayer. And that's what public health is about.
Yes.
So I don't have to argue that. I mean, this is how we keep our healthy nation healthy. So think about it. The cost of somebody being on HIV antiretroviral medication for the rest of their lives, because they have to for the rest of their lives, it no way compares to a person who is on PrEP for not the rest of their lives, because if you think about it, PrEP isn't necessarily going to be a long-term thing for somebody, because it forms a part of their prevention strategy for a time in their life when they need it, as to be a part of it. of their strategy. That strategy may change as they move into long-term relationships or their situation changes. So that is the cost saving is enormous.
Yeah. Okay. So there is another cost here that Active Up have pointed out, which is the cost of monitoring people who are on PrEP. So if you are on PrEP, you do have to get monitored. You can't just take the drug and forget about it. You do have to go and get blood tests, liver function tests.
Yes.
And we have two clinics have just opened within the last month, really.
That's right.
In Dublin only, obviously.
That's right.
Yeah. So something, talk to me about that.
Yeah, something that ACT UP have been calling for quite some time. I think our first PrEP forum, which we were at back in November of 2016, we set up a PrEP forum to talk about these various things. So we had been calling for quite a long time for PrEP monitoring clinics to be part of the strategy alongside PrEP. Going back to the test part of it, it is vital that you, if you are thinking about going on PrEP or you are already taking PrEP, that you are getting the test done. The tests are a renal test to make sure the kidney function is good. You need to have a HIV test and you need to have a general STI, full STI screening. And you also need to make sure that you're either clear or immune of hepatitis B or avail of a hepatitis B vaccine if you don't have that. After those tests, you need to go back and test every 3 months. So PrEP users will test every 3 months. And in a way, that has also shown evidence that people who are taking PrEP are testing every 3 months, but also those tests are going towards a reduction in overall STIs in the UK as well. That's what we're seeing. So there is a benefit to them. The downside of that is that if you don't have a robust and good system like the UK does in terms of testing, you get an extra pressure on
the health. Yeah.
So those PrEP users will be testing more often, like they should. But we don't, the health system and the STI clinics right now are at capacity. If you go to the health clinics these days, you may not be seen because the numbers might be up depending on the time or that they're of the evening they're on.
And the PrEP monitoring clinic is only one morning a week in for GMHS, and so more and more people are accessing PrEP here.
That's right.
There's more and more people need to be seen across the country as
right,
well.
Right, that's right. Now the good thing about and absolute hats off to Siobhan O'Dea and Adam Shanley and all the staff and volunteers and clinicians down at GMHS and to Dr. Susie Clark as well, who's amazing doctor, very has great ear for it, understands the needs of people who are going to the PrEP monitoring clinic, is that PrEP monitoring clinic is dedicated to people who are already accessing PrEP or want to take it. So there's a great support there and it's great to see it there.
To go back a little bit, PrEP does not prevent other STIs, and that's a very clear thing that needs to be put out there. And that's why those monitoring clinics are also very important, not only in terms of your liver function or renal function, because you're taking a drug.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, liver function doesn't actually...
Renal function.
That's okay. Renal function. yes. Now, to be clear about... There are many reasons why people take PrEP, there's this, I guess... maybe a suspicion on the part of people who are ignorant to what PrEP is, that PrEP can be used and is used in addition to other prevention strategies. So a person's prevention strategy isn't one thing for it's not a binary thing for somebody.
Yeah.
People have their own prevention strategies depending on their relationships, depending on their own choices. So regular testing, PrEP usage, and condom use often come all together.
Yeah.
I don't want to confuse that issue, but where condom use is inconsistent or has been incorrect, somebody maybe has been using alcohol or drugs that has maybe impaired the decisions, where there has been an STI, you've had an STI in the last 6 months, or you've used access PEP in the last 12 months, it would be beneficial for you to go and talk to the GMHS and see if PrEP is right for you. And that's a conversation that you have with your with GMHS, with the clinicians, with your doctor.
With your GP, because not everyone has access to the GMHS.
That's right. You know, that's right.
Yeah. It's been a landmark year for HIV. We've just been talking about U equals U with Morris and Robbie.
Yes.
PrEP is now firmly on the agenda.
Let's hope more has been done with that. Yes.
And also it's been a landmark in terms of ACT UP's activity. Mm-hmm. It's growing.
We're relentless.
You're relentless. Fabulously relentless. Will, tell me, what are ACT UP's plans at the moment? What's in the works?
We never give up on anything. So we started off at the start, when we started in 2016, in July, August 2016, the one thing that we wanted to do was to bring everybody up to speed on the issues, U equals U and PrEP. I can't give you an idea of what the level of understanding about PrEP was at that time, but I know for a fact that when we were at Oresa Nuclearon on World AIDS Day and listened to the president speak, he was absolutely up to speed on PrEP, U equals U, and prevention strategies. I couldn't have imagined somebody who was so knowledgeable and so insightful and so clear about the strategies that were needed to end the HIV crisis. So what we have found, and in conversations with other people, NGOs and frontline workers and outreach workers on the scene around the country, is that we are in unison about the things that need to change and the strategies that are needed to end the HIV crisis in Ireland. So we are going to move right into the new year. We have a meeting tonight into the new year with putting as much pressure on the government as possible to get PrEP through the reimbursement stage and get the rollout of PrEP across the country, in support of extra funding for sexual health services. And then we need to look again at education. When is the last time we've had a robust and real world sex education campaign through the schools, through media? I think there should be half an hour of radio dedicated by a station every week to sexual health in this country.
Absolutely. I mean, it was very interesting, the stigma report that came out earlier this year had unbelievable evidence of what people, how they think you can pick up HIV.
One in four people in this country, and this is a large sample group now between young people and old people, one in four people thought you'd get a HIV from kissing.
Yeah.
What kind of... See, I can't get angry at people for thinking that, because that sort of level of ignorance has to come from somewhere. So the question I have is two questions. One, where do they hear that? And two, why do they believe that? So I wouldn't, you know, if somebody said that to me, so, you know, like young people in this report, 19% of them under 25 thought you'd get HIV from a toilet seat.
I know, it's unbelievable.
Like,
sex education in schools.
If we don't talk about sex education, if we don't talk about the real world, if we don't talk about consent, the power dynamics within sex, if we don't talk about prevention, we don't talk about the type of sex that you want to have. And that's what we have to think about. We think about, you have to ask yourself, what's the best sex you ever had? And what's the worst sex you ever had? And then decide for yourself what kind of sex you do want to have. We also got to talk about how we negotiate sex and desire through modern technology. Does body image play a power structure in the way that we think about having sex with other people?
Yeah.
You know, do we allow ourselves to break our habits with our prevention strategies because somebody else is a lot hotter than us? Yes. And we think, well, if we don't, then they're not going to have sex with us. All of these things have got to be discussed.
That is a whole other podcast episode.
It is.
Our modern relationships via...
It's true.
Scruff and yes, grinder.
It's true.
But in the meantime,
yes.
Thanks for coming in, Will. And that's been hugely educational. And we'll continue to work with ACT UP in GCN to spread the information about what you're doing and to spread the good word about HIV prevention.
Thank you, Brian.
Thank you for listening to Q&A, GCN's Queer and Alternative podcast. And thank you to our guests for coming in today. They were Robbie Lawler, Maurice Leahy and Will St. Ledger. If you enjoyed this podcast, please subscribe and rate us on Apple Podcasts, which is formerly iTunes, or wherever you get your podcasts. And please spread the word and tell your friends, get them to listen, subscribe and rate. We'll be back again in January with a very special guest who I'm very excited about meeting. So until then, it's over and out from Q&A.